Christian Parenting. Aloha, friends. Welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom and Raising Amazing. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Ladies, if you have had a chance to hang out with a girlfriend recently, maybe over coffee or any time you get a chance to go below the surface, I'm guessing the topic of hormones have come up. Am I right? Whether we're talking PMS or perimenopause or menopause, hormones are a thing, and I think we need to talk about them. Now, I am happy to report that I have been trying a daily supplement called Hormone Harmony, created by Happy Mammoth. Now, the Happy Mammoth company is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it is perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that can tend to put a woman's life on hold. So, if you want to try Hormone Harmony, here's a great deal. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order over at happymammoth.com. Just use code MONICA at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. Use code MONICA for 15% off today. Let me know how you like it. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're doing great. I'm excited to share a returning guest with you today, and I'm confident you will enjoy this because when Jordan Rayner has been with us before, people have downloaded it a whole bunch of times and come back for more. He has a ton of energy and it's contagious, so hold on tight. I love that. But essentially, Jordan encourages us to understand the value of our work, how God created us to be workers. In fact, one of the episodes I'll link to in show notes, he was talking about his children's book, The Creator in You. And it just was so helpful in encouraging our kids to understand the value of work and to celebrate that. And so this is a topic he's spent years studying, researching, digging into the Bible about. And his new book is called The Sacredness of Secular Work. And I think this is going to encourage so many of you. Wherever you work, if you are changing diapers, or as he says, you're an accountant or a barista, whatever you're doing, your work has great value. And I love this because I'm always encouraging my boys, you know, to look for opportunities to share their faith, to talk about Jesus, to use their workplace or their school, whatever it might be, for ministry. And he says absolutely yes to that, but also even when you're not, your work still has great value, eternal value. So I love how he unpacks that for us. I think it's going to really encourage you. It's so easy to wonder, like, does what I'm doing even matter? Well, he's going to say yes. And I think this is one to share with your friends, share with your family. I think it's going to be a big encouragement to all of us. Now, before we dive into this interview, I just want to pause to thank you so much for your ratings and reviews for this podcast. And it's been a while since I've shared one. And so I thought I would share a review from the end of December. I loved this. It's from someone named Abbreviate, and that's spelled different, but that's how I think it's pronounced. So kind of fun. And she titled it, "What a Blessing, Such Encouragement," and gave the podcast 5 stars. Thank you so much. And she wrote, "I'm so thankful for Monica and her biblical encouragement and practical wisdom. I've been blessed by tuning in and listening to her podcast and reading her books for a couple years now and going through trials and difficulties in raising my 4 kids, 3 of whom are boys. I cannot recount how many times I have been encouraged, rebuked, and uplifted by her. So thankful for this resource, and I pray that God would bless you, Monica, and your family, and want to personally thank you for your ministry and input into our parenting." Oh, I love that, and you know, it's always nice when you hear somebody thank you for the rebuke as well. Hey, I know I need a good rebuke here and there. And so I hope to deliver everything I share with grace and encouragement, but I like to hear that it's not all warm fuzzies because we all need a little kick in the pants sometimes, right? Anyways, thank you, Abbreviate, for that sweet review. And just so you know, guys, even a 5-star rating, it takes like 2 seconds to tap on those 5 stars, and it helps. It helps feed that algorithm so this podcast gets put in front of more people all over the world. So right there on your phone, you just scroll down. When you're on my podcast, scroll down, see the 5 stars, tap on them. And if you can take an extra moment to leave a review as well, that would mean so much to me. So with that, I don't want to waste any more time. I just want to thank you for showing up every week. We have so many great guests and topics coming up in this new year. I keep feeling tempted to like add more episodes per week because there's so much I can't wait to share with you, but I'm going to make you wait every Wednesday. I'll show up and I hope you will too. So without further ado, here's Jordan Raynor and I talking about the sacredness of secular work. I hope you're encouraged. Hey Jordan, welcome back to the podcast.
Monica, it's so good to see you. I'm so pumped to be back.
Oh, I just love talking to you. Whenever I listen to your podcast or you on someone else's, I just get like, yeah, so pumped. You have a way of spreading your energy to the rest of us. So yay.
It's a blessing and a curse. Ask the people who know me best.
Do you wake up like that?
I really do.
Like, really?
You're not
a slow starter.
Not at all. And my 9-year-old like takes after me now. Like
she
gets up and is like dressed in 2 minutes. She's like ready to go for the day.
Yeah. Okay. So is your wife opposite or is she on
Yeah. She's a slow riser, slow to get ready, which thank God. If there were two of us in our house,
right,
it wouldn't work very well.
So fun. Well, I love it. Okay. Well, a lot of people here know you, but for those who don't, can you just give a quick introduction?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Hey, guys, my name is Jordan Raynor. I live in Tampa, Florida, almost as cool as Hawaii. Like Monica, I'm married to my wife, Kara. And we got 3 little girls, Ellison, who's 9, Kate, who's 7, and Emery, who we adopted a little over 4 years ago. Professionally, I spend a lot of my time as a tech entrepreneur. I'm chairman of the board of a tech startup I used to run as CEO. I spend the rest of my time creating content that helps Christians see how their work matters for eternity. And Monica, you and I were talking about this a few weeks ago, but you know, when I tell somebody that their work as a, I don't know, surf shop manager or an entrepreneur or barista matters for eternity, the most typical response I get is, oh yeah, amen, Jordan. My job is my mission field. And listen, that is 100% gloriously true. But if the only way our work matters for eternity is because we can leverage our jobs to share the gospel, then frankly, most of us are wasting 99% of our lives. And to me, that's deeply depressing. Mm-hmm. But I would argue more importantly, it's deeply unbiblical. And so I wrote this new book, The Sacredness of Secular Work, to help every listener see how every Zoom meeting they lead, how every Uber they drive, how every diaper they change.
There we go.
Has the potential of mattering for eternity, not just the 1% of time we spend doing the quote unquote spiritual work, important work of evangelism and prayer.
Yes. You just heard some amens out there when you mentioned those diapers.
Oh, come on now. I've changed my fair share. All right, let's go.
Serious. And it's hard in that moment to think this matters. That, and for one, just I had to remind myself over and over in those diaper changing days that God sees this. That yes, if I've got a smile on my face, if I have joy in my heart, God sees it. But I love this topic. And I think that it's something that somehow people just don't talk about. We don't think about. And you know, and my listeners know, I love to encourage my kids to be prepared to share their faith.
Yeah.
Wherever they are in the workplace, that, you know, there's so many opportunities to spread the gospel. But your focus here is on even when we're not sharing the gospel, our work matters. And I just absolutely love that so much. On the very first page of your book, you share how listeners can instantly view their workplace as sacred. Yeah. So talk about how we can make that shift, maybe even as moms or if we work outside the house.
Yeah, hopefully this will be a big mindset shift for listeners. So words matter. Definitions are super important to me. I like working from the same hymnal, right? That word secular literally means without God. But Monica, you and I believe, hopefully I can get an amen, that God is literally with us wherever we go through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And so if that's true, the only thing you need to do to instantly make your secular workplace, your secular community, your secular school sacred is walk through the front door or log on a Zoom. That's it.
Yeah.
Charles Spurgeon said that for the believer who is seeking first the kingdom of God, quote, nothing is secular, everything is sacred, end quote. So I think the more interesting question, I think the more transformative question is, how does that sacred work matter beyond the present? How does it matter for eternity? And that's the question I'm trying to help readers unpack and answer in this book.
That's right. And your subtitle is Four Ways Your Job Matters for Eternity, Even When You're Not Sharing the Gospel.
Yeah.
And I've just been really intrigued by these four ways, by what you outline in the book. I think it's fascinating. But can you go ahead and share some of those things right
I'd
here,
love
right
to.
Now?
Let's do it. Let's just tick them through real quick. So number one, your work matters for eternity, most fundamentally because it is a vehicle for bringing pleasure to God. Psalm 37:23 says that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives, end quote. In other words,
Wow.
God doesn't just delight in watching you stroke a check to the missionary on your refrigerator. He doesn't just delight in watching you walk somebody through the Romans Road, although he, of course, delights in those things. God delights in every diaper you're changing, in every hire you're making, in every widget you're creating in a godly way. All of those things are an ingredient into God's eternal happiness. So that's the most fundamental way our work
matters. That's huge. You could stop right there.
You stop right there. Yeah. That's all you need. That's all I need. Totally. But hey, scripture gives us more. Number two. But wait, there's more, God says. Number two, God's word makes it clear that our work matters for eternity because it is largely through our work that we earn eternal rewards. Now, this is super controversial in the church.
Ooh, yeah.
We never talk about eternal rewards, and for a lot of good reason. Listen, the perverted prosperity gospel has heretically taken this language about rewards and led us to believe that Jesus wants us to have our best life now. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
But Jesus did command, not just suggest, command his followers over and over and over again to chase after our best life later. Because 2 Corinthians promises us that while our soul has been judged past tense, if we're trusting in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, all of us are going to be judged for how we stewarded our life post-following Jesus Christ. Not to determine where we will spend eternity, but to determine what rewards we will enjoy for God's glory for eternity. And since we spend most of our days working, we can assume that most of God's judgment is going to focus on that work. Third way your work matters for eternity, it matters because through it, you could scratch off glimpses of the kingdom of God in the present. And then finally, number four, your work matters because you can leverage it to the instrumental end of sharing the gospel with those that you work with. And I would argue, actually the data would argue, that in this post-Christian context, it is not going to be pastors and donor-supported missionaries who are most effective at making disciples of Jesus Christ. It is going to be mere Christians working at the local coffee shop, working at the local mechanic shop, who are rubbing shoulders with the lost who will never darken the door of a church to learn about Jesus for the first time. So at a high level, those are four of the many, many ways. I'm not calling this an exhaustive list, but four of the many ways our work matters for eternity.
Right. And again, in the book, there's so many stories that just support this that you're just like really blown away by how much, not only stories about people here and in history, but scripture is just, it's so clear. And yet, like you said, I'm still camping out on number two, the eternal rewards. You're right. It's something people just don't talk about. It's like it makes everyone really uncomfortable, but it's a thing. And there's really no way to argue it, in my opinion. But I love that.
I grew up feeling so much guilt when I thought about this idea of chasing after eternal rewards, and let's be like real explicit about what we're talking about. We're talking about Scripture's promise of eternal treasures in heaven. It's talking about various crowns, but it's also talking about the reward of increased job responsibilities on the new earth. See the parable of the minas. It's talking about what Isaiah 60 suggests of us being rewarded with the literal work of our hands lasting for eternity on the new earth, which boggles my mind, right? All of these are rewards that Scripture holds out for us. And I used to feel guilty about this until I realized, and Randy Alcorn helped me realize this. He said, and I'm not going to get the quote exactly right, but he said something to the effect of, to maintain that it's wrong to be motivated by chasing after these eternal rewards is to bring a serious accusation against Christ, end quote. Because over and over again, I think I cite 27 scriptures in the Sacredness of Secular Work, Jesus is telling us, hey, I want to reward you brazenly if you sacrifice in this life for something much greater for all of eternity. So we should boldly chase after those things.
Yes, we should. And I love this. My oldest son and my husband were having a conversation about eternal rewards over the holidays. And I was just super fascinated by it. And so I love seeing it in your book too. I think that's somewhere people could really camp out in the book.
Can we talk about kids here?
Absolutely.
I know we're talking with a lot of parents. Yeah. The other day, Elsa, my 9-year-old, we're out roasting s'mores, right? And she predictably is like, I want to go first. I want to roast marshmallows first. And I just pulled her aside. I was like, hey, listen, let me read you Ephesians 6:8. Says the Lord will reward whatever good you do in this life. He commands you to love your sisters as yourself, right? How do you think they want to be loved right now? You think they want to go first? She's like, I was like, hey, listen, what's going to be worth more? You getting to eat a marshmallow 3 minutes faster than your sister? Or some eternal reward, I don't know what it is, treasure whatever for eternity. She's like, that's an easy decision. I was like, it is an easy decision, Ellison, when we think about these eternal rewards. Wow. So man, I pray that our listeners, that they just get one thing from this podcast, that they would just start training their kids to be properly motivated by chasing after these things.
Oh, that is huge. And it is so countercultural. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that is solid. And you know, we talk a lot about intentionality, but I think right there, that was a moment that could have so easily passed you by. But to have this on our minds, and again, it's going to be out of the overflow of what we're pondering. So if we're all thinking about this, praying about this, it's going to just spill out into our parenting so much more naturally. So love that. Great example. That's right. Tell us why you think, or from the research you've done, most of us just struggle to see our work as sacred. Like, what is it about us as believers who know the word of God well, that we just don't see that? We go to work and we're just disconnecting there.
This is not going to be a popular answer. I'm going to warn you right here, Monica. I'm ready. Because you've read the book. But I do believe it is the answer. Here it is. In the last few hundred years of church history, for the first time ever in church history, we have started treating the Great Commission to make disciples as the singular mission of the Christian life. And listen, lest I be labeled a heretic, the Great Commission is great. It is a non-optional command for every single follower of Jesus. But treating it as the only mission of the Christian life is problematic for a whole lot of reasons. Number one, Jesus never did that. In fact, he said, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you to do. Number two, it's problematic because when we treat the Great Commission as the only commission, I would argue we actually become less effective at the Great Commission, which we can unpack more if you want. But number three, when we treat the Great Commission as the only commission, it is impossible to see how my secular work is truly sacred. It's impossible to see how I, as, I don't know, an investment banker, am doing work that is as eternally significant as that of my pastor or the full-time missionary that I financially support. Because if the Great Commission is the only mission of the Christian life, then that work only matters in the 0.1% of the time I spend at work explicitly sharing Jesus' name with somebody, right? That is depressing and, again, unbiblical. Mm-hmm. All you got to look to is Psalm 37:23, which we just said. God delights in every detail of the lives of the godly. And so there's some deep roots that allow this lie to grow. And I tackle those in the book. One is called the abridged gospel. The other are these half-truths about heaven. But again, great commission, absolutely great, non-optional, but treating it as the only one, that's really, I would argue, the root of our modern misunderstanding of the sacredness of secular work.
I love that. And I totally appreciate all the examples too of how good work even draws people to more conversations and to wanting to know what is behind your excellent work. And that's just so inspiring when I hear those stories.
Hey friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift you might get your mom? I know every year I try to think of something unique, and I'm so excited to get to tell you about a really good idea. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your mom a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com will compile all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook if you prefer, using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Now, recently I was able to order MyLifeInABook.com for my mom, and I cannot wait to hear all of her stories. She has such great stories. I can't wait to see them all in a book form. So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code MONICA at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. Again, that's MyLifeInABook.com and use code MONICA for 10% off today. I want to tell you about a podcast sponsor that I'm a big fan of, DiveIntoMath.com. Now, most of you know that all my boys have been homeschooled, and the oldest two went on to college, where the oldest graduated with a degree in data analytics, and the second son will graduate this year majoring in mechanical engineering. And both of those boys took science classes and Shorman math classes through the DiveIntoMath.com website. In fact, they went all the way through an AP calculus and an AP physics course, and they believe that those classes really well prepared them for their college classes ahead. Now, Dive Into Math offers self-paced courses in state-of-the-art e-learning systems featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading and grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman, who happens to be our good friend and is such a great man. Dr. Shorman teaches everything from a biblical perspective, and he offers a historical foundation, which teaches the why of learning math, which is really helpful. Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions, which, if your kids are interested in college, is going to be really, really helpful. Now, I have a lot more to say. I'll be sharing in the months ahead, but definitely go over to the DiveIntoMath.com website. Check them out. I think you'll be impressed. Okay, shifting gears now, because I love to talk about character, raising kids of character, and work is tough. I think I argue that in this generation right now, just the kids don't value work. Parents aren't necessarily doing a great job at teaching kids a good work ethic. But I love the spiritual perspective you have on work beginning in Genesis. Tell us what we're made for.
Well, what scripture says we're made for is found in the first commission that God gives us in Genesis 1, 26 through 28 to be fruitful and increase in number, meaning basically have a lot of babies, right? Let's be honest. Fill the maternity ones, right? Fill the earth, which is essentially to create culture, subdue the world and rule it, which is essentially this command, as Wayne Grudem says. Wayne Grudem edited the ESV Bible. He says, quote, to make the world more useful for other human beings' benefit and enjoyment, which is exactly what most of our listeners are doing every day is marketers and social media managers, whatever it is that they do, right? Yes. The lie that is pervasive in the church today. You may not hear it explicitly, but I promise you're going to hear it implicitly almost every Sunday, is that the Great Commission has replaced that first commission. Right. That's mm-hmm. a lie. Mm-hmm. In Genesis 3, the first commission becomes more difficult. It is mm-hmm. now under the curse. We now feel thorns and thistles yeah. as we try to make this earth more useful for right. other human beings' benefit and enjoyment. But it's never retracted. It's never canceled. Mm-hmm. The reality is that you and I have a dual vocation in the present. Mm-hmm. The first commission to make culture and the Great Commission to make disciples mm-hmm. as we go about making culture. And I think this is part of the reason why we see Peter catching fish even after the resurrection
yeah.
and catching people. Mm-hmm. I think it's why Paul chose to make tents and make disciples. I think it's even why Jesus spent 80% of his adult life making tables mm-hmm. before he did the work of mm. making followers of the way, because these things are meant to be held together. They're meant to be held mm. in tandem.
Oh, that's so good. I love that. And I just love that we know, because before sin ever entered the world, that God commanded us to work, right? So we know it's part
God's
of his
plan A.
Good, beautiful creation. Yeah.
It's God's plan A, right?
Yes.
And so often I think we accuse God, we're not cognizant of it, mm-hmm. right? But we subtly accuse him of needing a plan B, right? Great Commission replaced the first commission. That's accusing God of needing a plan B.
Yeah.
This earth is going to burn up in the end. That's a lie. This earth will be purified with fire in the end, mm-hmm. but it will survive because God doesn't need a plan B. He's the sovereign God of the universe.
Right.
He does not create things, whether the earth or commissions, only to destroy them, because he is all powerful mm-hmm. and he is Lord over all of it.
Awesome. And I think your longest chapter, correct me if I'm wrong, might be the one on heaven. Is that right?
I think that's right.
And so with that in mind, I just recently had a conversation with somebody who's kind of skeptical about the Christian faith. And he said, I don't like the idea of heaven where all we're doing is worshiping God all the time. We're just floating around worshiping. That sounds really boring. And I was like, how did that message become so common in our church or in the message of what heaven is? Because no, as you talk about in this chapter, heaven's not just us floating around worshiping God. Tell us a little bit more from that. Give us a teaser on that chapter.
Oh man, I hate hearing that story. Mm-hmm. Because I think, here's the deal. In my experience, most Christians have spent more time planning a one-week vacation than they have thinking about eternity. Mm-hmm. And that inevitably leads us to settle for these wishy-washy half-truths about heaven that are more informed by culture.
Yeah.
Like playing harps and clouds for billions of years, rather than the whole truths we find in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so, I spend the longest chapter of this book replacing five of these prevalent half-truths with the whole truths we see in God's word. One of them is what your friend said. We will worship for all of eternity. And when we say that, what we assume is heaven is an endless Hillsong concert, right? We're just singing praises to the Lord, and the person who can't sing is dreading it, and they hate it. Here's why I say that's half-true. In a way, it is true. Right? Eternity is about the glory of God and us properly worshiping him. The reason why I say it's half true, though, is because our definition of the word worship is at best half true. Mm-hmm. When we talk about worship, we talk exclusively about musical worship. But check this out. Genesis 2:15. It says that God took Adam and placed him in the garden to work it and take care of it. Mm-hmm. And the Hebrew word that we translate to work there is this Hebrew word called abad, which elsewhere in Scripture is translated to mean worship. What's the point? Adam and Eve were not just worshiping God when they sang him a song, right? Adam and Eve were worshiping God when they engaged in filling the earth and subduing it and making it more beautiful and useful for other image bearers, right? And the same is true for us today, and the same will be true for us for billions in billions of years. So we just talked about Genesis 1, the first commission. Fast forward to the opposite book end of Scripture, Revelation 22:5. It does not say that we will swing in hammocks for eternity. It does not say that we will play harps forever and ever. It says that we will, quote, reign forever and ever, end quote, with Christ on a new earth. Isaiah 65 right. explains even more what that means. Isaiah 65, 17, God says, see, I'll create a new heavens and a new earth. My chosen people will build houses. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. My chosen people will long enjoy the work of their hands, end quote. Just as the paradise of Eden was not a vacation, but a perfect vocation without the curse, so it will be for God's chosen people forevermore. And I don't know about you, but I know for your friend and for me, that's a lot more hopeful than endless harps and hammocks.
Right. And there's a big difference between the work we know today that does have thorns and thistles, or like when my laundry's piling up and I'm like, I'm blaming Eve because I'm like, this is the fall.
Hey, as we
like,
should. Come on.
Every
now.
Time we finish a project, we have to start again because it's never done and it can be so frustrating. And that's the sin side of our work. But good work is completely different from that, right? Like the kind of work we will do will be that satisfying, God-glorifying work.
Correct. And I think it's hard for us to even wrap our heads around
exactly.
because we are so, our work is so mired with thorns and thistles.
Yes.
But think
yes.
about the best day you've ever had at work.
Mm-hmm.
Everything clicked.
Mm-hmm.
You were just in your element. Everything was flowing. You were doing deals, finishing chapters. What? Multiply that times.
Kids obeying.
Kids obeying. Actually taking out the trash without being, to quote your book,
yes,
doing the dishes
told.
Without being asked. Remember that day?
Yeah.
Multiply that times 100.
Uh-huh.
And then imagine the risen Christ next to you as you're doing that work. That, I think, is a glimpse of what we have to look forward to forever and ever.
I love that. Okay, so you had a good story with your daughter.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas for us how we can pass this idea on to our kids and help them to value work?
So we shared, my favorite episode we've done of this show was about my kid's book, The Creator and You, which we talked a lot about this. So go back and listen to that episode.
Everybody. Okay, I'm going to link to that one.
Okay.
Okay.
But let me give you one new one that I'm loving with my kids. And again, my kids are young, so I'm not teaching them super deep theology. I'm just trying to help them understand the basics of how our work matters to God. So a lot of times when we pray and ask God for something or thank God for something, for example, our dinner, right? We're around the dinner table. We pray, thank God for this food. After we get done praying, I say, hey, kids, everybody name one job that God used to answer that prayer, right? So for dinner, Kate will say, oh, yeah, he made a farmer to go out and pick the apple that's on my plate. I'm like, that's exactly right, Kate. We did this the other day when we were on a road trip. It was pouring down rain, and we were praying, like a lot of families do, for safe travels. Lord, please keep us safe on the road. Kids, everyone name a job that God is using right now to keep us safe. Kate said, the people who made the windshield wipers. That's right. Ellis and my nine-year-old's like, whoever made this type of concrete, I love this answer, this type of concrete that ensures that we're not like sliding all over the road, God used that person to answer our prayer today. I'm like, this is so simple.
Yeah.
But what my kids are getting at a really early age, that God delivers his extraordinary blessings to us through really seemingly ordinary jobs.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them extraordinary, is that God is using them to answer the legitimate prayers of all people. So if you're looking for something practical with your kids, steal this one.
Oh, that is so good. And again, what comes back to me is that intentionality that requires. Like, that wasn't hard. That didn't take a long time for you. You didn't have to pull out a workbook or listen to something together as a family.
I don't have time for a workbook.
No.
You literally just found that moment. I can have something
moment.
That's like simple and I can remember and just deliver in a second.
Right? So the key here, listeners, is it's got to be on our mind. If it's on our mind, it's going to come out in the things we talk about. Whether you're on a road trip or sitting around the dinner table, these are all easy, but, or I should say they're simple, but they're not easy. Like, they just require us to be thinking about it and passing it on. And these are life-changing truths.
Yeah, 100%. My goal, think about this. If you start doing this when your kids are even 15, right? It's never too late to start. 16, 18.
Yes.
They are going to grow up with something invaluable that most you and I never had. they are never going to sit in church again feeling like a second-class Christian because they're not standing behind the pulpit. Right? These statistics that keep coming about deconstruction and kids leaving the church, man, they grieve me.
Yeah.
And every time I see a new study posted, people are all over Instagram and Twitter blaming liberals. Mm-hmm. They're all over blaming culture. We are partially to blame.
100%.
Because after our kids prayed the prayer and walked the aisle, we never validated their God-given desire to lean into their interests as business people, as healthcare professionals, because we told them, if you really want to be a super Christian, you got to be preached from the pulpit. That's a lie. God says that's a lie. And by encouraging them with these truths now, the Christian faith and the God of the Bible is going to be so much more beautiful and relevant to their daily lives. And so I'm praying that that's a gift that all of our listeners can give their kids.
Oh, I love that so much, because I do think when we can validate for our kids, like, these things you love, well, God gave you that love. God set that desire in your heart. So now what can we do with that? And just that's going to light them on fire, right?
Yes, this thing isn't earthly, fleshly desire. You're a new creation. Everything is new in you. Yeah. Your passions, your interests, your gifts, all of those have been redeemed by Christ Jesus. And so if you feel in your bones that God made you to be a professional surfer like your son, Monica, lean into that God-given desire. That's not a sinful desire. It is a gift from your heavenly Father. And so lean into it fully. Only now you're doing that craft and you're exploring that interest, not for your own fame, not for your own fortune, for the glory of God and the good of others, and yes, your joy.
Amen. Let's drop the mic on that one. I'm like, this is so good. I'm such a fan. I love it. I appreciate your enthusiasm, and I'm just so thankful that you took the time to put it in a book. So let's tell everyone where they can get that book. In fact, as this comes out, I believe we're like right within a day or two of your launch of the book. So tell us what we can do. Everyone needs this.
Well, there's good news if that's when this is dropping. I'll explain in a second. So the book's called The Sacredness of Secular Work. You could get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, wherever you get your books. But if you get the book before February 3rd, make sure you go to jordanrainer.com and enter to win this epic trip I'm giving away for you and a friend to go to France for a week. And practice. I want you to rehearse for eternity the most literal way I know how. Again, Revelation 22:5. Says that we are going to reign forever and ever with Christ on the new earth. And so I'm sending you to the most epic castle I've ever seen in my life to practice that. And then I'm going to meet the winners over there for a night, take them to dinner, and encourage them.
I want to win. How fun.
Come on.
Let's go. Oh, my goodness. Yes. So we're going to have a link to that in show notes, but this will come out in plenty of time. So if you're listening right away, get in there. Enter to win. Okay. And if people just want to check you down, social media, all that, where's the best place they can find you?
Yeah. Yeah. The best place for all the links is jordanrainer.com. Same link, jordanrainor.com.
Awesome. And on this topic, we have talked before about your book for children, The Creator in You, which is awesome. Yeah. And I'll link to all the different times you've been with us, and just such a joy to talk to you. Thank you so much.
The joy is always mine, Monica. Thank you.
All right, friends, I hope you are encouraged by that conversation. And if you're catching this right away after it comes out in the first couple weeks, be sure especially to go over to show notes to get that link so you can enter to win his extravagant giveaway. But either way, you will find links to anything we talked about over in show notes, which you will find today at monicaswanson.com/Jordan-Raynor. That's JORDAN-RAYNOR. Okay, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for continuing to show up. We have a really fun episode next week where I'm bringing two of my boys on to talk about sibling relationships. So bring the kids, tune in, and I think that will be both entertaining and encouraging. So have a wonderful rest of your week, and until next time, aloha.
Hey. Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.